Amen. Well, thank you, worship team, for that time of worship, for leading us. We appreciate you guys as part of our volunteers. Thank you, everybody who has volunteered and works hard to make this place happen. I'm excited to serve you burritos next week. Really, I am. It's going to be exciting. Very, very exciting. Well, I don't have my lapel mic because as I was walking by a chair on the way up, it just ripped right out of the thing. So that just happens, you know? There's just things, and we just got to work through it. And so I have this handheld mic, which is great. It's like old school for me. I love it. You are welcome, Hope, at home, by the way. And if you're new here today, a couple things. One, this is the final week of a sermon series called Abide, the Last Words of Jesus. So we're wrapping that up, and then next week we'll move into a new series. And I want you to know that we will be receiving communion today. If you haven't noticed the tables in the corner, we're going to be doing that at the end, which we do every fourth or every last Sunday of the month. So you can start to prepare your hearts for that, okay? Let's dive in. You know, Amanda and I, we really love to fill up our planter boxes. Y'all like to do gardening out there? Yeah, anybody? Yeah, there's some people. You're pointing at someone else that likes to do it. Yeah, we love that stuff. And, you know, in the springtime, and it's about that time, right? Pretty soon, we better get those things in. And, you know, we're not experts by any stretch, but some things just grow, right? You have some success with some things. For example, cucumbers. My goodness, I can't not grow a cucumber. Anybody? I mean, so give cucumbers a try if you don't know how to garden. I mean, I can't not grow them, right? And we're usually drowning in cucumbers, and you'll probably see some show up at the church once that all takes place. And then there's the herbs. We love to do the herbs. The basil just explodes, and it's beautiful. These beautiful big leaves on it. I love it. I love how it smells. And then there's the mint. My goodness, mint just takes over the world, whether we want the mint or not. It just comes back, and so consequently, we drink a lot of homemade mint tea. We eat a bunch of cucumbers with hummus, right? And we put basil on everything. I mean, that's just what we produce. So whenever I go outside in the spring, I expect to find those things. I just expect it. I mean, they grow so well, you know? I also have this, there's a painting in my house, and it's a painting of my house. I have a painting of my house. Actually, it's a painting of my backyard. Now, I did not purchase a painting of my house or paint a painting of my house, but my friend, Jonathan Paul, who many of you know, he's a great artist, Pastor Jonathan in India, in that he painted my backyard just for fun. But in that painting, there's an apple tree. Beautiful apple tree in that painting. And if you go to my house today, guess what? There's no apple tree. There is no apple tree. And why is that? Because some things don't come so easily. If you want apples, you got to talk to Jack Smith, because that man, he can grow some apples. But I'm not going to be able to provide that, right? They require more of me. They require more time, more energy, which seems to be in short supply the longer I raise a family. But truly, I did a terrible job at cultivating that apple tree. And aside from the very first year that I was here, it has never really produced good fruit. In fact, I was about to cut it down, and I decided to give it one last year, and I gave it my best shot. I even talked to Jack Smith and got some pointers, but guess what? It didn't produce good fruit. It's probably more my fault. So what happened to that apple tree? It got torn down, and some of that wood got used for the smoker. Now, come on. Now, that I can, yes, I can do good things with a smoker. I'm a little bit better at that. Now, the same is true. We've been talking about the last week of Jesus' life. We're just coming off of Resurrection Sunday. What a great time we had last week. But the same was true when Jesus, on his way into Jerusalem, was hungry, and he saw a fig tree with beautiful leaves. You remember talking about that? It looked like it should have some fruit, and those beautiful leaves drew his attention to go and find out what was there. But what did he find? He found nothing. Nothing at all. And the fig tree withered, and it died. Now only useful for the fire pit. Jesus expected to find fruit. And in our text, we've been in John 15, verse 8. He says this, "My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." We can see that there is an expectation of fruit in the life of his disciples. And that is a very serious thing. For, you know, he also goes on to say that whatever doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. And so fruit is the real proof that you are his disciple. And that's great, but the question is, and the question that we want to begin exploring today is, what is the fruit that Jesus is looking for in our lives that he would love to find, right? My life ought to demonstrate my connection with him. And so I want to know what he expects to find as he draws close to me, right? As he inspects my life. And this is well stated in a very famous verse that we all know. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." You know, among other things that the Lord wants to find in your life, these fruits here get very specific as to what he's looking for. And so they get more to the point, right? And it's a relief to know that I don't have to aim for perfection in my life to please God. That's not my goal. I can't be perfect, but I can aim for the fruit of the Spirit. I can aim for these things. And you could spend your entire life just seeking a relationship with God that bears the fruit from Galatians 5:22. And so these are the things. These are the things that he plans on producing and refining in and through our lives. And it's why he said, and why we've even been talking about all this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Everybody say, "I will bear much fruit." This is what Jesus said. He said, "You will. You will absolutely bear fruit if you abide in him." If we choose to abide in him, then we can't not produce these things. Okay? They will happen. And he can expect to find these things in our lives. It's okay for him to expect these things in our lives because they come from him. They are a part of who he is. They are a part of his character. And so these things get poured through the branch, flowing straight from the vine. And next week, we are going to begin a new series, and it's going to be called Fruitful. and we are going to look at each of the fruits of the Spirit. And that's going to be a great time. But in order for this process to work in your life, there's a couple things that need to happen first. Number one, you need to make a decision to get connected. Make a decision to get connected. How do I really make that decision, okay? Well, here it is. An abiding heart will always be a repentant heart. An abiding heart will be a repentant heart. Connection starts with repentance. And a repentant heart will keep you connected to Jesus. Why is that? Well, repentance literally means to change your mind and your actions. Not just your mind, right? But your actions as well. And we change our minds to believe that He is Lord and Savior, my source of life. And with that, I choose to make the connection to Him through repentance. To embrace His way of doing things and the truth of His word. And then we learn to demonstrate that by living a completely new life, one that is shaped after His example, cultivated by His example and following Him. That is really what fruit is. Fruit is a demonstration of our repentance. You know, and we see this throughout God's word. There's all kinds of talk about fruit in God's word. One example, John the Baptist. He's out there baptizing, and you know, he called the religious leaders that came out to see what he was doing. He said, "You brood of vipers." He was upset at those guys, right? And he told them, "Listen, if you really want to change," he said, "produce fruit in keeping with repentance." That's what he told them. Keeping with repentance. It means to actually walk out your repentance. To change. To go in the direction that you said you were gonna go when you gave your life to Jesus. And to turn away from the direction where you were going. That's what it means to keep with repentance. John here is infuriated with the religious leaders because though they were the religious elite, they knew everything. They didn't practice what they preached. And they were leading people astray. And so John tells them, hey, look, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and it will be thrown into the fire. And so if we do these things, then we will bear much fruit. It sounds great, right? Sounds great to bear fruit and to become a new person, right? God, have your way in me. As we sang today, we worshiped and we sang these words. Do what you want to do in me. And that all sounds wonderful, and it is. But after this life-giving analogy of the vine and the branches, Jesus goes on to say more that we haven't even gotten to. But he goes on to say to his disciples that things are going to start getting difficult. Now, you've made this decision to abide. You've made this decision to connect. But now the world is going to hate you. And the world is going to begin to persecute you because the world hated and persecuted Jesus. And because of that, that requires a second action on our part. We need to make the commitment to stay connected. Initially, we need to repent and get connected. Then we need to stay committed. make the commitment. Here's how we stay connected after having repented. Here is a great verse from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Listen to this. It says, through Jesus, right? There's that idea of connection again, abiding in Christ. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. There's more fruit there. The Bible talks a lot about fruit. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. You know, to me, praise doesn't seem that hard. Right? It doesn't seem like what I did today, just standing over here and singing it, it doesn't seem like a huge sacrifice, as it says here in Hebrews. And yet the Bible gives us this fruit we are to produce, worship and praise from our lips. Right? To me, it's like growing cucumbers and mint. It seems easy. It's not too hard if we give God the praise when the sun is shining and there's a harvest, right? But the real sacrifice of praise comes when life gets hard. When God doesn't come through the way that you hoped that he would come through. When he doesn't come through in the timing you hoped he would. When life gets hard. And perhaps in those times, and maybe you're even going through some of those times now, you don't even feel the connection to the vine. Maybe you even doubt that the connection is even there. But many times in this life, to stay connected will require a kind of personal sacrifice of praise in times when we don't see much fruit and in seasons, the seasons we go through. The psalmist said this, said, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So there is a season in life. There are seasons in life. There are great seasons and there are difficult seasons. But the funny thing is that in and of itself, a sacrifice of praise is the fruit that he's looking for. Right? To lay our lives down before a God we don't always understand. We don't always know what he's up to. That is called abiding. It's the choice to believe in the work that he's doing in our lives to ultimately bear the fruit that he expects from our lives, even though life is not going the way we think it should go. It's placing our ultimate trust in God. And it's keeping our ultimate trust in God, no matter what we go through. That's how we grow deeper with him. We're not to reward God with praise only when he does something good, or to reward him at all. We don't do that. That's not true connection. It's not what his disciples do. We are to praise God continually throughout our lives, all the ups and all the downs. Easier said than done. But in all seasons, whatever you're going through, even now, this kind of praise comes from a humble and repentant heart that has been connected to the vine and has stayed connected to the vine for a good long while. It takes a lot of time. The psalmist also said in Psalm 92, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. It takes a long time, doesn't it? It takes a lot of commitment and connection to just continue to abide. But even in old age, God promises that you will bear fruit if you abide in him. Amen. Amen. That's somebody who knows what I'm talking about and has gone through a lot more than I have in this life. Vines take a number of years to fully mature. That's true. So does our faith. It takes a lot of time. And that's what God wants to develop in our hearts. That's what he blesses. This is how fruit emerges in huge batches, right, throughout the seasons of life. And this is how you really know that you're staying connected. Do you demonstrate a continual sacrifice of praise? No matter what you're going through. If you can give God the praise through the hard times, that is where your faith in him really shines. That's how you know you're abiding. It's not always easy to bear fruit. It's not always easy to bear the fruit that Jesus wants us to, but you certainly can't bear it without him. So it sounds like some hard work. But when we make the connection through repentance and we stay connected through a sacrifice of praise, we can be confident of some things. Confident of what? Well, here's what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That tells me he's going to work in us throughout our entire lives. The reason he wants us to abide in him is that he wants to get to work. He wants to get to work in your heart and change your life from fruitless to fruitful. And that verse tells me right there, one, he wants to start his work in you, he who began. He wants to continue his work in you, he who will carry it on. And he wants to complete his work in you, to carry it on to completion until that day, until the end of your life, or until the day of his return, whichever comes first. Why else does he want to start this process and get to work in you? Romans 8, 28 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He wants to do it for your good. His intentions are so good. We don't do it for his good. We do it for his glory. He does it for our good. Amen. What kind of work will he be doing if we want to take this ride, if we want to get connected, if we want to repent and turn from the way we've been going and begin to walk with him, if we want to truly abide? What kind of work? Well, get ready. It's not easy work. John 15, verse 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Getting ready to do some work. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Vines, this is such a great analogy that Jesus uses. Not only did it represent the nation of Israel, but vines are difficult to maintain. They're considered a very high maintenance crop. And they require pruning, and they require training for a successful harvest. And they are susceptible to pests and disease. And so things need to be cut away and cared for. But why does he cut things away? He says it right here in this verse. He cuts away to bring forth. What a great lesson for us. The more you lose, the more you gain. How does that work? That's the kingdom of God. The more you cut away, the more you give away, the more you die to yourself, the more God prunes and cares for and clears in your life, the more you gain from him. It's amazing. And so if you want to be a Christian, you have to welcome the pruning shears, all right? And for some of us, it's more like the pruning loppers, right? And for some of us, it's more like the chainsaw needs to come out, right? God wants to do some work in you and whatever it takes. Let me give you one of Paul's greatest pruning verses, Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7 and 8, it says this, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ." That is the pruning of the Holy Spirit in your life. When we learn to count everything in life worthy of loss compared to our connection with Christ, we are beginning to understand how the vine dresser wants to work in our lives. The word pruning actually means cleansing. If you define it in the Greek, it doesn't mean exactly what we think it means. It means cleansing, and it means that God wants to take away all the useless stuff in your life, purify your life, all the burdens we carry, the sin that we're entangled in, the complete lack of character in certain areas of our lives, even sometimes the misdirected purpose that we're seeking after, all of this needs to be pruned before it can grow. And let me tell you this. Here's what I know, okay? I haven't walked this life as long as some of the older, more wise people in this room. But I know that his greatest tool for fruit bearing in your life is his word. It is his word, and you have that in your possession, the greatest tool. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive, and it's active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, to joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The word of God is sharp, and it does its cutting with precision. And so we need to use that every day. Every day in our lives, we need to get to the Word of God. Someone said this, "Don't worry about whether you will bear fruit or how much fruit you will bear or what kind. Attach yourself to Jesus and remain attached and you will bear much fruit." Amen. Amen. We're going to move into our time of communion. And you've seen the tables around the edges. I'll ask the first person who arrives at that table to go ahead and just take the lid off, okay? Move to the table closest to you. We'll spread out evenly. And I want to encourage you to receive communion. I want to encourage you to inspect your heart a little bit today. If you have given your life to Christ, I encourage you to receive communion. If you have not made that commitment, if you have not connected with the Lord through repentance and committed your life to him, I would say stay right where you are. And don't even worry about it, but Examine your heart for what you may want to do and maybe a decision you might want to make today. I will pray and release you guys in just a minute. But I just wanted to say this today for our time of communion. Jesus is a passionate fruit bearer. He is. He said this in John chapter 12. He said, "Truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." He was willing to be that grain of wheat that fell to the earth and died. So if you think about it, he's already done the hardest work in your life, securing your salvation. That's some hard work. How much more is he willing to work in your life now if he's already done the hard stuff? He's ready and he's willing. He's willing for you to decide to connect with him. And if you do, you will bear much fruit. And so we remember that today. As he passed the cup and he passed the bread, and as some of his final words, the things he said before he became that grain of wheat. He said, "Whenever you take this cup and whenever you take this bread, do this in remembrance of me." So let's spend a little time just remembering how hard he worked for us. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, our hearts are focused on you. As we receive this communion, would you bless this time? We remember your great sacrifice. Help us to continue to remember and to stay connected to you long after we take this cup today. Give us a heart of repentance for our sins, all the things that have disconnected us from you. And we know, God, that we face struggle in this life, but teach us to struggle connected. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for what you did on that cross. And we offer you a sacrifice of praise today. All glory to you. Amen.